UK presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 331. I'm Adam, and so mote it be. And here is Debbie Melrose.
When Beltane is come, tread softly, for lo, the prince himself is nigh.
Well done.
Mary Lang.
This planet smells to be a failure.
Andy Nunny.
I'd rather have a pint.
Doesn't surprise me. And
yes, Kurt. I just wondered if anyone might guess that was going to be my quote.
And Burley Cartlett Sloan.
Chap with the wings there.
I thought you might. I gave everybody else the chance to do that quote, hoping that they'd get ahead of Kirby, but no. It had to be Kirby, didn't it?
That's sitting at the top. I expected you guys to use that one. And I've got this whole list of other ones.
How many rounds rapid was it, Kirby?
The one that I expected somebody to do is that close your eyes, my darling. Three of them at least.
Oh, that was my second. That was actually my second.
Yeah. So I waited.
I was probably going to just come out with a simple nonsense, Joe.
Yes, listeners, this week we'll be looking at Who Mourns for Adonis. Sorry, that's the Star Trek version of this story, beg your pardon. Yes, it's the Daemons, stroke demons, essentially Daemons. But before we talk about that, apparently Peter Capaldi is not going to be playing the Doctor anymore. Well, by this time next year, in fact, will not be playing the Doctor.
Yeah.
So now we've got to run the gauntlet of guesses as to who is going to be playing the Doctor, so just so one person can say, I got it right.
Me.
What do you mean, me? Well, you're not playing
I'm
it.
Playing the Doctor.
I think there's more chance of
chance as most people right now.
No. Although, we come up with a woman. I thought a couple of women that could play the part. One was Sarah.
It won't be a woman. It will happen. It'll be a white male, aged between 35 and 40. That's my prediction.
Possibly.
I'm sure.
Possibly Ginger.
That would be.
No, nice. No, it won't be Ginger. No.
Who did you say, Debbie?
Ben Whishaw.
Why?
I think he'd be worth a go, definitely.
Oh, I thought you had inside information then. That,
none of us like I would.
It's just your guess, is it? No, I had a nightmare, a stroke dream, stroke nightmare the other night, actually. And only people in this country have watched the TV series, what's it called again? It's about the old people who play pranks on people. What's it called again, Debbie? You know, you watch telly. That prank program involving old people playing pranks.
No
on.
Idea.
Oh, no damn. Idea. Something rockers. Off their rockers. There we go.
I've never heard of it.
All right. I know you've established you haven't heard of it. Never mind. Right. There's a load of old people in it who basically go around playing pranks on people. Rather like Dom Jolly, but they're old. And one of them is this particularly small, squidgy little man who thought of it like that. And I had this dream that the announcement was that he was the new Doctor. And I was watching the regeneration scene and getting really annoyed. One, because all we saw was this flash in another room. We'd actually see a physical regeneration. And two, when the person who walked out of the room was that bloke from off their rockers. So obviously I'm a bit off my rocker, actually, at the moment. But there you go. I've got a few. There was a couple of women in mind. One was Sarah Lancashire. There was another one that came to mind.
She was touted last time, wasn't she?
She'd be quite good. But there was another woman that sprung to mind. Me and Debbie thought about it. Would be quite good, but I've forgotten who it is. But yes, it could be a woman, Andy, because they've experimented and it's been very successful having Michelle Gomez playing the master, mistress.
My prediction it will not be. It will be a middle-aged. It'll be a man aged between 35 and 40. It'll be a white man, and he won't be Ginger.
I agree with Andy. I think that there will be a woman, but not this regeneration. It will be the next one.
I think
you've already planned it out,
the generations, because Isla's asked, will there ever be a lady doctor? There's a lady master.
I think there will be, simply because
eventually there will be.
Yeah, but if they got the right actor, then of course.
I think it would be too much to have a lady doctor and a lady master.
Yeah, maybe so. But then, of course, the rapport between two sort of opposing but friendly women.
I'd like to see Catherine Tate actually be the Dr. Dawn.
Yes.
Yeah. That would be...
Yes.
So yeah, that's cool. Not... I don't think she'd do it, though, to be fair.
Yeah, she would be brilliant. She would be brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. That would be...
The other possibility is that they could have Jenna Coleman coming back.
No, please, no.
She's been the doctor. She's already done it.
Yeah. No, but I think I did think of another really good female actor that would actually work in the role. But
Whoopi Goldberg really wants to be the doctor, doesn't she?
Does she?
I mean, we've already seen Jenna Coleman be the doctor and Capaldi be the companion. You know, they played that entire season. So.
Yes, that's another thing that annoys me a little bit, because why can't they do more than three? It really irritates me. Three seems to, you know, they do the first, you're just sort of getting into the part. Second one, they're sort of nearly there. Third one, they've got it, and then they leave.
Yeah,
I know. Well, he's done four years as a doctor, and I think it's a natural thing. He doesn't want to get typecast. He wants to move on to other things.
And I think it's really sad that it's already announced that he's not going to be, because we're going to spend the entire next season, you know, I mean, look at us already, of who's next, who's next, and that's going to kind of overshadow the whole next season.
I think they should have snuck it in. They should have just had him regenerate.
As you can hear. Mm-hmm. Oh, are you messing around up there?
No, I'm watching YouTube.
Oh, for goodness sake, couldn't you stop watching YouTube then?
I just had to stop Isla watching YouTube.
Why? Does your internet not allow you to do more than one thing at a time?
I'm not going to risk it.
She needs to go to bed.
I'm not going
to
risk it. Thank you, Isabella. Stop watching YouTube. There's TV to watch. At least she came down and asked me. Anyway, yeah, sorry. Where did we get up to before interrupted by a 10-year-old?
Who the next doctor
was. We were still discussing who was going to be the doctor. Yeah.
And I was saying it was a shame that we already know it won't be Capaldi, because he's going to be, it's going to shadow the next season. People are going to already be moving on mentally while he's still there.
Yeah, that's true. But no, at least we've got a series of Doctor Who to watch with him in it. But it's very frustrating. Maybe David Walliams will play it, where they've got Matt Lucas in it.
No.
I know he'd like to play it. But yeah, I don't know.
It will be someone, as Andy said, you know, 35 to 40 demographic, white.
Do you know who? That's what I remembered. Who I thought would be really good for the series. I don't know. If
it'll be somebody we've never heard of. Some new person.
It'll be somebody. Oh yes, I've heard of him
for the series.
But it won't be a massive. Yeah.
No.
For the series, star.
For the series, it would be very good if that bloke who plays Poldark played it, because that would increase the viewing figures of just the women.
I would be watching, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd watch. And he can act. The bloke can act. So I think he'd be an ideal new doctor.
I'm laughing at Debbie. I'll put my vote in for him.
I reckon he'd be really good. That's why they got Tennant in, essentially. He was quite a successful doctor. But there you go. So that's Peter Capaldi is leaving Doctor Who. There was another bit of news that came off. Out during between now and the previous episode.
Yeah, John Hurt died.
That's it. Why am I prioritising Capaldi leaving to a doctor dying? I don't know, but it's all been kicking off, hasn't it, over the last few weeks? Says John Hurt has indeed left us, and it's very sad. But here he is. I just got my little plastic John Hurt for the benefit of the for the viewers. Yes. But at least I say we got some magic from him. At least he, like I said, he's lent his name to the sort of legacy of Doctor Who, and we've got some big finish with him as well, haven't we, Mary?
Well, yes, and a guest that I'm prodding you to get on the show fairly recently recorded a big finish with him, so good. It'd be nice to
I have communicated with her, but that's as far as got. I wrote her email, she replied to the email, and we were trying to decide what would be the best time for her to do an interview. It may not be at a time that's mutually convenient for all of us, but only for me and her. But we'll see what happens.
It is a line of questioning, you know, what was it like working with him? Because that would have been pretty close to the end for him.
Well, if we get to a point where we can actually arrange an actual, you know, time, and if you lot can't make it, then we'll have to get you to just feed us with some questions for me to ask her.
Yeah.
You've done that before.
No, I didn't. I didn't bother with the questions you sent me there, Kirby. So,
actually, you did.
Wasn't that?
Yeah,
oh my!
Questions
anyway, right. Sorry, I'm gonna have a sip of my cola. Okay, right, I suppose we'll get on. Yes, very sad news. Can't say how disappointed, but we're never going to see this chap again in Doctor Who. But, like I say, we have a legacy. And we can always say one of the greatest actors this country has produced has played our Doctor. So, this week we're looking at the Daemons, and we're going to start in the conventional way with episode one. Do you know what we forgot to do last week, everyone? We forgot to do the sponsors last week. I blame Debbie for not reminding me.
Well, it's no.
Debbie is sponsor monitor. She is sponsor monitor. So the fact that she didn't remind me to do the sponsorship is just her fault. So I'm going to put the War Doctor here. So it's just at the bottom of the screen for the just the top of his head. I've got to find something the proper one because it does look a bit daft. It's just the top of his head. So I'm going to use this camcorder battery. There we go. And there he is. So we've got me and the War Doctor for the benefit of the viewers. Right. So the story starts.
Very nice.
In a very spooky village with some goings on and cats. I read somewhere, they're trying to imply in some ways this cat that was in the opening scenes was the same cat that was in Planet of Giants. But no. Then I think I might have misread that. But there was a reference. Maybe it was only the second cat to appear in Doctor Who since the Planet of Giants. So yeah, there's a bit of rain going, a bit of wind and rain. Then we meet...
Master?
No, we don't meet him yet. He's in a few episodes.
Master?
No, not yet, Kirby.
Master?
You're jumping ahead a bit.
Master? The little black whatever growing among the tombstones is one of the production assistants... hat.
Oh yes, I did read the I was, because I didn't have to write questions for this particular episode, I was able to watch it with the info text on, so you might hear some very interesting tidbits as the story develops.
No, they'll just be the same tidbits that I normally
pick up the interesting tidbits, actually, thank you. So BBC Three are preparing, it's interesting because they're an online channel, but they're preparing a live link up on an online download channel.
Well, they didn't even exist at that time. This was a fictional
BBC
Three.
Didn't they? I didn't. Did you know that, Debbie? That BBC Three didn't exist in 1971? Interesting, this story was being filmed while my mother-in-law was pregnant with my wife. But anyway, right, so the Doctor, meanwhile, is faffing around with Bessie, and he's managed to work out how to get her to work in remote with a remote control that fits into his pocket. I thought it was quite good, actually, because most remote controls you get with Doctor Who toys, such as Daleks, are bigger than the remote control he's got in his pocket, which I thought was quite interesting. Joe is quite amazed by this trickery, as we're trying to... But yeah, I quite enjoy. I quite like the little prop. They had a little steering wheel on top and a little gun. It was very, very nicely made, but it wasn't on screen for very long. Oh, I know he's listening to me, but never mind. So there's stuff going on at this dig, which makes the Doctor quite interested. So they head down to where this live broadcast is being made. A very interesting little handheld video camera. It was obviously not a real video camera, because I think the handheld cameras are probably a bit bigger in those days. Not sure. Debbie will know because she was a bit older than me. No, she's younger than me. Sorry. were you around when this was being filmed, Deb? You were born around the
1977, baby.
77. You're a little twinkle in your father's eye.
Yeah, I think so.
So yes. So basically everybody's watching this. Even the unit team are watching. So we're watching a bit of rugby.
Yeah, I thought they're watching rugby.
Yeah, it was Sir Tony Neary, that was England's number six. He was captain, blindside flanker. And that would have been they played in Wales and got stuffed.
Yeah, completely.
They would have been, yeah. That would have been a 71 game.
Does it depend on the dating system their unit's using?
Yeah, but actually, the footage they would have used would have been a 1971 game.
Yeah, so in Sarah, yeah, there is...
I was making a little joke there.
Yeah, but if they're watching... but it's interesting. If they're supposed to be watching live rugby, they're then watching a live game from 1970.
No, it's highlights. It's not live.
Yeah, but they're watching... They wouldn't be watching highlights of a game that had been broadcast several years previous, would they? That's what I'm saying. They're implying that it was...
No, it was highlights of the game they were watching. It wasn't a live game. It was
That's
the
what
evening.
I just said. But they were watching highlights, essentially, of a game that had been played that day. That's what they're trying to imply.
Yep.
But this is set in the future, so it doesn't work if you're looking at it that way. If you want to be pedantic about the game that we're watching.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yes, so Miss Hawthorne, yes, is she's a white witch, but she forgot her wand.
She's still alive before that actress. I looked her up on Wikipedia. She's 91 now.
Yeah, I thought she was still with us. Yeah. She got a bit of a sort of lispy, talking through her buck teeth thing going on, but I thought she was quite good in this. She did forget her broomstick and her wand. Fans of witches. There was a few scenes in the pub. Interesting, they had a great big TV in the pub. The pub reminded me of
a bit like Three Crowns.
What?
It was very Three Crowns.
Three Crowns, really? I'd never won in the Three Crowns. I remember looking like that.
You should have done.
Should I?
Master.
Oh dear. Yes.
Obviously, this is a set for the inside of the pub, but inside the real pub in whatever town that was, they have the sign that was used during the filming.
Yeah, but I went there in 1990. I've been there.
Yes, indeed.
And they've got the Cloak and Hoof sign there.
Yes.
Why don't you post a picture of it?
I can't find the pictures. I've been looking for them. I don't know where they are.
Does that answer your question?
I went there with Richard Molesworth, the guy who wrote Missing Believe White. And I was trying to find those pictures. We went there in the summer of 1990. I also went to the village of Nunney as well.
Ooh. Nunney.
Nunney. There's a village called Nunney, just southwest of Frome in Somerset.
Right, anyway, so back to the story. Sorry, I just got distracted because somebody wanted to join the group. Sorry, that's the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which if you're watching this particular video stream, you're in the group anyway. Right, so... sorry, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. I've lost the page now. Where is it? Oh, there we go. Right. You put me off. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So, the point I was just about to got up to is a bit where the policeman picks up the rock and is just about to brain Miss Hawthorne after a bit of winning.
Yeah, he's totally baffled, isn't he? He hasn't got a clue what he's doing, has he?
Mm. And there's another thing where the Doctor and Joe are trying to find their way to... what's the place called? Devil's End or something like that? I can't remember now.
And it was Devil's End.
Yes.
And the signpost thing spins round, and there's a little bit of there was a rope apparently around it, and the first time they did it, it broke. so yeah.
Yeah. Notice there was one of the other things was Satan Hall on the sign.
Yeah.
Yes, there was Satan Hall and somewhere else, wasn't there? Something
else.
Yeah,
there was
with the devil. Yeah.
Yeah. And then and this is the point you can say Master, because that's the point which he turns up. As Mr. what?
Reverend Magister.
Reverend Magister, that's all right.
Reverend Magister, yes. Yeah.
In his glasses. Now, what I thought was quite interesting about this glasses thing, because he does the thing, doesn't he, when he takes his glasses off and he tries to...
Hypnosis.
Pardon? What did you say?
I said the hypnosis.
Hypnosis? Yeah, he tries to... hypnotise one of the people, but he takes his glasses off to do this. But if you remember the War Games, they put the glasses on to do their hypnosis, the Time Lords in that. Well, were they Time Lords?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't a Time Lord there, was he?
But they were using Time Lord tech. I thought that was quite interesting. No? Okay, fine. Right. And it doesn't work on Miss Hawthorne, by the way. Meanwhile, the sun has set and the Doctor and Joe are still trying to find their way to the dig, and they eventually do. And,
I loved it when they were running towards the dig and Joe fell over.
Yeah.
Was it actually planned, or did she? Because she's basically blinded the bat, isn't she?
Yes.
Did she just go away over tea because that's what she did?
I think she fell over. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she actually tripped.
Yeah. So yeah, there was a bit of a power cut as well, and then while they're faffing around in the thing, and the master's doing his incantations, or what you want to call them, there's a load of wind blowing and then there's something
they shouldn't have eaten so many beans.
Yeah. And then
I like the fact that Professor Horner is basically just doing it all as a publicity stunt for his
book.
Then box eyes light up and Joe does a pathetic scream. So that's basically how Joe screamed.
But he wasn't exactly that scary dressed in that wee little outfit, was he?
Then the Doctor gets frozen. The Doctor gets frozen. And while the unit chaps are watching it on telly, they're watching the Doctor frozen on telly, which is quite amusing.
I like the fact the brig's gone out.
The brig's gone out in his red jacket. We get a sign on the TV that says Devil's End Temporary Fault BBC 3 TV. I thought it was quite cute. And at that point,
you should have kept that to yourself and made it a question.
Oh, we would have all got that.
Yeah, that's fairly obvious. That was
unnecessarily. Yeah.
That rather indicates to me that Kirby probably shouldn't really write any of the quiz questions for the show. Right. So yes, the Doctor is frozen. They're trying to get hold of the Brig, who's in bed with his missus.
Apparently there was thought that was going to happen when the phone rang. A female hand would pick the receiver up and pass it across to the Brigadier.
Yeah, that would have been rather cool.
That's the arms he wears, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That would have been rather cool.
That would have been his first wife, wouldn't it?
They tried to find him, and he's apparently gone off somewhere after dinner.
Yes. He's probably gone to a gentleman's club.
Yeah,
meanwhile, Benton and Yates take a little chopper. They do like choppers in Doctor Who. And they see these rather badly drawn hoof prints across the countryside. I like what they were trying to do with it, but they
looked awesome on a small color set in the 70s.
Maybe so. Well, I'm watching it on a very small little display on my computer, and it still looks rubbish.
I watched it on my Wii computer, and it looked pretty effective in a 70s.
I like what they were trying to do with it. It was a really good idea. Yeah,
did you notice once they got down on the ground, not only were the marks smaller, but they were closer together?
Yeah, much closer together.
I thought you might notice that, Mary. This is what you were hired for.
Obviously, Azal had hopped a bit there, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, now, for some reason, these unit guys, when they're in their chopper, they've changed into civvies.
Brig's chopper.
Pardon?
It's the Brig's chopper.
Yeah, but they've changed into civvies for this particular thing. They changed out their uniform.
Yeah, I was confused as to whether they were on duty or not, because they wear civilian clothes for the rest of this.
Yeah.
They want to fit in.
Yeah, and they headed straight for the farm, for the pub, and this is where the Brig, who has a red phone right next to his bed, it's quite funny, gets the call and basically asks where's the Doctor, etc, etc. Doctor's frozen! Miss Hawthorne and Benton go to the church. And then Benton has
Benton rescues Miss Hawthorne from the church.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, because you're talking to me. I'm getting distracted. Thanks for filling that one in, Debbie. Who's going to win this quiz this week?
Debbie.
Yeah. So, where did I get? So, yeah, so she gets rescued from the church. There's a bit of a scuffle. John Levine hurts his hand in the scuffle because...
on an ashtray.
Yeah. Because I think he's supposed to hit the gun out of his hand, but hits his hand by mistake or something like that. And then there's a surge of heat from the church, which warms up quite a lot of things, because the great big dome of fire encapsulates the whole village, and also the heat from it wakes the Doctor up. So that was quite a clever little idea, actually, and quite well imagined, actually, in the episodes. But
except for
is that the inspiration for the TV series Under the Dome, do you think?
No, it was the inspiration for the TV series Daemons from a TV series called Who Mourns for Adonis in a television series called Star Trek. Yes.
Master. Except for the one problem where the Brigadier is standing on the edge of the dome section where you can see the burned out thing. Mm. And later they established that the dome is 5 miles across, coming from the center of town, which is the church.
Yes.
But they're standing by a sign which says Devil's Inn 1.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. 10 mile radius. Yeah.
Maybe the zero fell off somewhere along the line on that sign. I don't know.
Yeah, I wrote that down.
What I got was he's standing next to the dome and he pokes his little...
Indeed.
He pokes his little stick out and it catches fire, which is a clever little trick. But if it's a dome-shaped thing, the wall would be at an angle at the edge, wouldn't it? It would go away.
Yes.
It's quite high, isn't it, though? So you'd curve very gently.
Yeah, it would be curved, but you burn your feet before you put your stick out to touch it. It'd
still
be
So Master is the expert in how these fictional domes are shaped, okay?
Well, they drew a diagram of it, and it went off at an angle.
Yes, but it's still a mile high.
Yeah, but a mile, if it's 10 miles across and a mile high, surely the angle of the edge of the dome...
Yeah, we don't know. Is it a circular dome, or is it going to be straight and then curved at the edges?
It's a circular dome implied in the thing, so you've got basically a diameter of 5 miles. and the 1 mile thing, and also the bit which means the angle is there,
which means the center of it is 4 miles under the ground.
I've got a load of comments coming up. I use my iPad to film this online, and I'm not seeing my comments. I'm going to read them off my booter. Right, then we've got Alan T. Butcher says red. I think these might be in reverse order. He also said Ted phone. I see, yeah, they are in reverse order. Right, let's try. Let's go at the beginning then. It says I've got 10 comments. I can only see 4. Anybody understand what's going on here? Nope. Okay. Thanks for that, everyone.
Oh, it says I've got 10 comments. I can only see 4.
I can hear myself. Isn't that cool?
Anybody understand what's going on here?
Yes, it's very confusing, isn't it? Anyway, right. Yeah, thanks, Facebook, for that one. Right, so ones I can see are, is it Paranoid Kirby this week? And then he says, that's Anti Butcher. Ashley Hughes says, did Kirby watch the Great Welsh Game? And then Ashley Hughes then says, the guy who plays Mr. Tumble. And then Anti Butcher says, off their rockers. So I've missed some comments somewhere along the line there. I don't understand why.
The Mr. Tumble guy is about who can play the next Doctor. Which, if you ever watch Mr. Tumble, he's actually quite, that's quite weird, that is.
Yeah, we don't want that as the next Doctor. Thank you very much. Anyway, right, so back to the episode. I don't know. I'll just try to read some comments so it won't come up. It says, conversation starter, 10 comments. I can only see 4. So frustrating, this Facebook Live thing. It really is. Right, so...
I like it.
I like it, but I can't see all the comments nowadays. Yeah.
Well,
I can't see all the comments. I don't like the fact I can't see all the comments. It's very annoying. Right, yeah, so back to my... We were talking about this dome thing, and... I'm quite glad in some ways, because obviously this van is driving along and crashes into the dome and bursts into flames, that the Brigadier... And there's also a black mark. Now, this black mark that's on the floor, this is what the point I'm trying to make. The dome would slope away from that point. The Brigadier touches it virtually in front of himself, and his little wand, or what you call it.
That's never bothered me.
It doesn't bother me that much. I'm just trying to say it's supposed to be... Right... So, right, the Doctor and Joe are trying to get to the Brigadier to they're trying to get to the lands.
They go inside the barrow.
Oh, the barrow, that's it, yes. Where, and they get chased by Bok. Sorry, I got distracted by you lot. And
that's our job.
No, it's not. Right, and that's how the episode ends. The Bok's going to kill him. Because the Bok's got the ability to zap people out of existence, essentially.
They just disappear completely, don't they? There's no sort of smoke or anything like that. Just boom, they're gone.
And do you know what Jo says when she sees Bok?
So she says the exact same thing at the end of the first episode and the second episode.
Right, so the Master, meanwhile, is trying to get some people on side. That pompous bloke with the bald head, for one, who, again, he's not...
The Squire.
Yeah, a couple of people in this story aren't sort of hypnotizable by the Master. He's one of them. But the Master gets around him by saying, well, we can be powerful and all this stuff like that. And, here comes the local Wookiee. Yes?
I decided to join you.
That's interesting. Why?
Because I feel like...
I asked her if she would earlier this week.
Cheers. right, anyway. The Brigadier, who is now... I think he's in a van near the dome. It's quite a big van. Inside that van is Osgood. Obviously, he's...
Are they related?
Yes.
Of course they are.
Absolutely.
Supposed to be...
That's Osgood's father.
You've got the same glasses, haven't they?
I'd say it's her grandfather.
No.
This is 1970. Father. Don't call me father.
Yeah,
call me master.
I think grandfather, yes.
I think grandfather. Osgood's definitely younger than I am.
Yes.
All right.
I think it's grandfather.
I'd say grandfather, because he would probably be in his...
No. Remember, this is unit dating. This is in the future. So
but only 1980. This is set in the 1980s, so this is probably 30 years ago. Yeah. So you think, look at him now, that guy is about 50. Okay, I can't be a father at 50, but 30 years ago...
Yeah, we're going to establish it's probably her grandfather. Anyway, right.
It's grandfather.
Yeah, thank you. I'm right. So, all I can say about that is... What are you fiddling with? What is it?
Who?
the local Wookiee. Right, so the Doctor, meanwhile, is doing a little slideshow of various versions of the devil.
Yeah, what, four slides?
Yeah.
He does all this elaborate stuff to show four or five pictures.
Yeah. Where did he get these slides from, for one, and where did he get the projector one for another? But nevertheless, that is how he's supposed to show, oh, yes, the devil is supposed to have horns, like this demon thing that they're about to see. Alright, so let's skip forward a little bit. The Master has managed to con a few people into joining him, and the Brigadier and the Doctor's trying to explain to the Brigadier, right, you've got to build this machine to do this special thing to make a hole in this force field thing so we can get the machine through, etc., etc. Yes.
One of my quotes, if I hadn't been given the opportunity to use the one, was going to be, right, tell them to build an EHF wideband width variable phase oscillator with a negative feedback circuit tunable to the frequency of an air molecule at, what is the temperature at the barrier, Brigadier?
Yeah. I had to rewind that about three times to get all that.
Yeah, thank you.
And I still didn't get it because I don't have the subtitles.
Right.
That's why DVDs are very nice.
Why don't you be quiet? I'll explain later. Right. Yeah, so the Master uses Bok by way of a bit of persuasion for his little cronies, his little demon cronies. And, what's that fight going on? There's a fight there. Oh, Yates has a bit of a scrap with someone in a check. It looks like a lumberjack, actually, in the shirt he's wearing. And
he's okay.
Oh, yeah, and then he nicks the helicopter, the Briggs helicopter. But the helicopter, unfortunately, crashes into the dome and... But it does chase after the Doctor and Joe in the car.
Gets thrown out of the car.
Yeah. And, Joe, another little bang on the head for poor old Joe. Obviously leads to Joe having a bit of a lie down for a bit. But the Doctor and the Brigadier...
Frantic bed scene. We seem
beg
to have
your
a
pardon?
Lot of those.
I have a 10-year-old in the room.
Deborah. Way that someone unconscious is lying there, thrashing their head from side to side, revealing plot.
Yes,
Master?
Thank you.
Yes? There's a scene where the Doctor and the Brigadier are on opposite sides of the barrier having a little discussion. Mm-hmm. Pertwee was rather upset at some of the filming delays and stuff. Mm-hmm. And right after that scene was filmed, he gets on the motorcycle and he just disappears for 20 minutes.
About this. He was quite petulant, wasn't he, John Pertwee? He wasn't like that when I met him, but it seems that there's quite a few stories of his... or examples of his, being a bit petty. Moody to people. Pardon, Deb?
Petty.
Same for you.
Petty, yeah.
Right, as I was saying, there's a conversation...
Well, the weather was not very nice that day. It had snowed that morning.
England!
Anyway, so there's a conversation with the Doctor and the Brigadier along the great big black line. And...
with the weird wind going.
Yeah, I know.
No, that's the sound of the barrier.
It's the sound of the barrier. Of course it was. I should have guessed that.
Yeah.
Yes,
can you get it off me?
They used it through the beginning as well, when the wind blew.
Sorry, the war doctor just jumped
killed,
off there because I coughed too loudly. So
Dad,
we're just
going to.
He's already dead. Be quiet. Right.
It's getting better.
Pardon, Deborah?
Nothing.
Oh dear, sorry. I'm a bit
thirsty. I only get called Deborah when I've been naughty. Honestly.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get called Andrew. That's what I get called
so,
Andrew.
That last episode, I think it ends with. Oh god, I've lost where I was now. How did that end? Oh, hang on, that's your fault.
Sam coming back again.
With
what? It's all looming over the Master.
Yeah, for the second time, and the Master going, oh no, you're going to destroy me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right,
I'm surprised the Master said, you know, you remind me of Omega.
Yeah, so that's right. So basically, we missed that because you lot were talking. The Master's nearly managed to bring Azal, to existence, but then realises Azal's going to tread on him, basically. Can you stop making stupid noises? I get enough from Kirby without you doing
it. Azal's got this little problem with his tights. They're all wrinkly.
They are wrinkly. Yeah. I noticed this. But I like his stilettos are quite attractive. so Joe wakes up and rather blindly, literally, climbs down a ladder that happens to be leaning up against the.
Yeah, why didn't she go down the stairs? I mean, why did she have to go out the ladder?
Because she tried to go down the stairs, but the others were there.
Yeah, she's sneaking out.
It just seemed to make no sense at all.
So there's a funny scene in which Oswald thinks he's got the machine working and it blows up in his face. It'll be 10 minutes, it'll be about half an hour. So Azal is trying to persuade... Sorry, the Master is trying to persuade Azal to give him all his power because he wants to rule the Earth. Normally it's just the universe of the Master, so it's quite...
Azal knows the Doctor's nearby, doesn't he?
Yeah, he knows the Master's fibbing as well. But he still seems to be quite keen to side with the Master. The Doctor, meanwhile...
I am not your slave, and you are not immortal.
Yes. The Doctor, meanwhile, is having a little ride on a little motorbike and gets shot at by the bloke who seems to be wearing a torn-up newspaper by the end of this episode. And
I thought there was some sort of thing dealing with Mayday to have the newspaper suit.
Obviously. You're
the people who have these elaborate Morris dancing stuff.
Well,
you're
saying that all British people do Morris dancing.
Morris dancing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean to ask, do people still do this Morris dancing and all this in Maine? Yeah.
Do they?
Cowes is full of it all year round now. It used to be a couple of times a year, but now you get them going by, you get them all doing the pub crawl,
through
the town, dancing.
Deborah, I've never seen this. Deborah.
You hear them going past. Deborah. Like, oh my God, what's that?
Hello. Deborah.
Hello.
What?
I've never seen what you're talking about.
They're always in town.
I never see them.
Oh, all right.
Anyway, right.
See who?
The Morris dancers.
The Morris.
See, she's never seen them either. It's a myth. We're talking about the Morris dancers. In this story, the Morris dancers are quite fierce and ferocious.
Morris dancers.
Yeah, they're Morris dancers. That's a Morris dancer that's trying to clobber Benton with a Morris dancer. That's where he hurts his hand, by the way.
Never heard of him.
But... Miss Hawthorne has a crystal ball in her bag and she just whacks him over the back of the head and knocks him out.
Yes!
That's convenient.
No. And did you notice that in that scene... Please listen. Did you notice in that scene where she holds the crystal ball in her hand and Brenton's sort of looking a bit like he's in pain because he is in pain because he hurt his hand. There's a goat in the background with a horn, so I thought that was obviously some sort of... No.
No.
Homage to the fact we're talking about a story of a creature with horns.
Your Wookiee just made a goat noise.
So yes, the Doctor meanwhile gets tied to a pole.
Oh, I see the goat. Okay.
To a maypole, and they're gonna initially they were gonna shoot him, but the Doctor and Benton did a few little shoot the light things, and I will make that light break and the weather vane turn on the church, because Benton's a particularly good shot with a silenced gun. Apparently silenced guns are not particularly accurate. And
sounds like someone's been reading the info text.
And then they were going to set fire to him. But
with my quad.
Indeed. But the Doctor manages to talk the rest of the baying crowd out of the idea of killing him. And then I think is it that episode that the bloke with the newspaper suit sort of runs off to make friends with Bok, and Bok kills him. Was that the next episode?
No, that's in the last
part. That's right, quite early on. So Bok evaporates him, but there's a really good scene actually where Benton has a scrap with someone and overcomes him and looks quite fierce with his gun. Actually, I think Levine is very good in this episode, to be fair. So eventually the Master is able to get through this into the dome because of the skills of Osgood. And
The Brigadier. You said the Master.
You mean the
Brigadier.
You're incombobulating me. Is that the word as well?
Yes.
No, you just said the Master.
I did. I meant Brigadier.
obviously, very easily confused. Master, Brigadier, they look so alike, don't they?
The Brigadier is able to get into with a very good special effect that they've created for this thing, which was a tin foil wrapped around an arch.
I was about to say that. Someone's been reading info text.
and with a bit of Vaseline over the lens or whatever to make it look a bit dreamy. It works really well. I'm quite impressed with what they did with that. I don't care what you
say. See, I didn't realize until I read the info text that it was a real prop that they were driving through. I thought it was a special effect using CSL.
Very, very cleverly done. Meanwhile, Joe is going to be sacrificed.
Just save a blooming chicken. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, how gormless is she?
We never even see the chicken after that scene.
Hey?
No, you're right. We don't. No.
I
want to know what lucky guy got to dress her.
Yeah.
Anyway, probably the same one who got to undress her for the Dalek bit she was in that time. Joe is going to be sacrificed, and the master is basically, because now the doctor is actually in the crypt and is gets to meet Azal, and Azal says, "I want to give my power to him." And
Azal
shouts
at everybody for a while.
And the doctor says, "I don't want it." And so shut up. The Azal doesn't particularly like this, and decides, well, somewhere along the line, he's going to kill the doctor just for the sake of it, because the master says so, bloody blah. They try to blow up Bok just so as they can do the brilliant reversing of the thing, so Bok goes back together again. and we find out that little polystyrene model of the Bok they blew up and didn't blow up or whatever ended up in John Pertwee's garden, but unfortunately, being polystyrene, it disintegrated. So eventually Azar decides to kill the doctor, but Joe jumps in front of the doctor and says, no, kill me instead. And that confuses Azar, and he's right, get out of here, because I'm going to blow up. I'm going to blow everything up, the space and everything.
Adam, I don't understand this. They've influenced all the major cultural changes in human history, and they've never come across someone going,
exactly,
don't do it.
Yeah.
This is not. This is a rip-off of Who Mourns for Adonis.
I know.
This is why they've done it.
During one of the scenes where Azal is proclaiming stuff, did anyone notice his drooling?
No.
Oh boy, it's at about 15 minutes 30 seconds in.
Oh, do we have to watch him drool 15 minutes?
No, you don't have to.
Right, I'm in 50. Well, it's probably difficult talking with those
teeth. Okay, there it is. It's at 15 minutes 45 seconds.
Well, there you go, listeners and viewers. You can watch a bit of drool. He's probably struggling with those teeth.
Yes.
Anyway, where did we get up to? We got to the bit where Joe sacrifices. Everybody runs out of the church. The church then blows up. Apparently, the BBC got letters of complaint saying, how can you blow up a lovely old church for the sake of Doctor Who entertainment? So, and the special effects team were absolutely thrilled to bits with that particular letter. So that's it. The master, not the brigadier. The master tries to get away, but unfortunately jumps in, and Bessie, who comes and brings him back. But I still think he could have got away, even because he gets away quite easily normally, doesn't he? But by hypnotising people. So he's got all these eunuch soldiers he could quite easily hypnotise between them and then getting in to Norris Castle, which is essentially... That's on the Isle of Wight, by the way, Deb. Norris Castle. until the Sea Devil.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that one. I've never seen that one, and I expect you to take us on a little tour around the Isle of Wight before we do that one. Excuse me?
Norris Castle's private property. Can't go there.
Well, you can still drive around the island, and
I took a picture of it.
Only takes
last
5
year.
Minutes.
And I took a picture of it last year and posted it on the 20 megabyte page. You should have paid attention. That last scene, by the way, where they're all dancing around the maypole and the camera zooms away from it. It's a beautiful scene. That lovely ending. One of the nicest endings to a classic Doctor Who.
Yes, and it's taken from the spire of a church that's been blown up.
Yeah, so there you go. So that was The Daemon / Demons. Right, I'm going to now say what I thought of. Now, I did allude in the last episode that every time I have to watch this story, I think, oh, God, I've got to watch The Demons. And then I watch it and actually quite enjoy it while I'm watching it. There's certain aspects of it I shouldn't really like, because it's fighting and silliness and whatever. But I while watching it, I'm actually quite into the story and quite like it. Didn't find it boring. Managed to watch all the episodes fairly close together. I could, if I hadn't started falling asleep because I was tired, I would actually watch the first three episodes in one hit. I think it was probably originally a six-parter and got knocked down to a five-parter. I think that worked quite well, actually. I haven't finished yet, and I think this is
the
possibly...
last five-parter of all time.
All right, you just wanted to say that before I did, didn't you?
Yes.
So yes, on the whole, it's got its faults, like every Doctor Who story of this era has. On the whole, it's quite a good little romp. I dread to think of it, but I think normally with Mary, we play this particular what do they call it? Jingle. But this one's for Debbie this time.
Why?
I don't know. Just have a funny feeling. Go on.
I actually had my faith in all good things about Doctor Who restored with this one, so there you go. I'd sort of had a bit of ennui over the past few months. I think I'd hit like my 3-year wall of watching Doctor Who all the time, and I was just like,
I think Alan Butcher has gotten to Debbie. She's using big words now, like ennui.
That's not a big word. And but I sat down to watch this, and I thought it was really funny, really brilliant, and just the Brig stole the show. Every scene he was in, he was just chewing the scenery with aplomb. And it's an interesting take on sort of like the story of the devil and the black and white witches, and they obviously hit on the horned beast through history and things like that, and saying that it is this demons from Deimos, that sort of thing. And I just thought that's classic Who, and yes, obviously it is classic Who, but it was nice to sit down and watch it again, because I have watched it before, and just to sit down and enjoy Doctor Who again.
Oh, damn, I've just knocked off the War Doctor.
I must say, I'm not enjoying John Pertwee as much as I enjoyed Troughton.
Okay, well, give Mr. Pertwee a chance, because we're not even halfway through yet.
No, obviously I will. I know there's some crackers coming.
And also, talking about being halfway through, we're heading for halfway soon, because obviously we're soon entering into his third series, which would have been the last had he been Peter Capaldi. Yes, thank you, Debbie. Finished.
So are we getting ready to drop having the Master be in every single story?
Yes, obviously, because it's the end of...
Yes, it's coming. Yes,
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Thank you, Debbie. Some comments have come through. We've got Anne-Marie Blackall says, hi all. And all of us say hi all to Anne-Marie Blackall. Alan T. Butcher says, red. We established this earlier. Dean Hill says, evening, Al. Oh, sorry, all. So thank you, everybody, for your comments. Isabella Pearson is being particularly annoying at the moment because she's leaning on the back of my chair, which is very, very irritating.
Hello.
Who's next? Oh, yes. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
But my sound is no longer weird.
No, you sound good.
Just get on with it.
I absolutely love this story.
Right, okay, thank you.
I've seen it, five, six, seven times now. And
567 times?
And
you've seen it 567 times, Isabella?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Five, six, or seven times. Oh, five, anyway,
six, or seven. Okay.
The other night, I turned it on, and I was going to marathon my way through it, and Fred came in here with her boyfriend, also joined her, to watch it, and he joined her during the fifth episode, and by that point it was late at night and I fell asleep in my chair.
You seem to fall asleep quite a lot these days, Kirby.
So
while watching Doctor Who,
they finished it up, and I woke up and said, wait, I missed five rounds rapid. Oh no. So I ended up watching the fifth episode again last night, and then while I was at that, I then watched it again with the infotext, and then I watched episode 4 with the infotext, and then I watched episode 3 with the infotext, going backwards.
God, can we just hear
it? Do you reckon I should have asked someone else first, Mary?
Anyway, I love this one.
Hooray! So we got to the main crux of it. You love this one. Andy, what did you think?
Are we Kirby? This is an absolute belter, this is. This really is, you know, an all-time classic. I think you've got the Doctor at his best, you've got him and the Master working so well together. As Debbie said, the Brig gets some brilliant lines. There's the unit crew get parts played. I mean, everybody gets something to do in this whole story. And in the supporting cast, you know, the pub landlord, the squire, they all get things to do. It races along this story, does. You know, I'm never bored with it. Mm. Absolute cracker. Loved it to bits.
Wow. See, that's how you're supposed to do a review of a story, Kirby. Right then, this is the bit everybody's been waiting for. Mary?
Oh, well, I struggled through my third watching of this.
Struggled?
Oh, my God, this whole thing just seems like we're just coming up with one distraction after another just to keep the Doctor and the Master from meeting up until the very end. And so many of the things they did just seemed like, you know, okay, this is one more thing we thought of to stretch this out a little bit longer. You know, like the whole helicopter ride, we really didn't need that. The guy, the helicopter guy that's buzzing the Doctor and Joe, I mean, he could have just pulled over to the side and let him, you know, kind of burn himself out rather than, you know, us worrying, because there's nothing he could have done to them unless he had a gun, which he didn't. Mm-hmm. I see that this season kind of boils down to a weekly cartoon serial. Every episode, you can expect pretty much the same thing. Mm. And I'm stretching back to the previous stories, including, you know, the Doctor and the Master is in every episode. And, you know, it's just Doctor Master all the way through this series. So it's refreshing for me to know that I believe this is the last Master story.
No.
For
yeah. It's the last Master story for a couple of stories, maybe.
Yeah. But, I mean, where else could he go? I mean, once he's conjured up the devil, everything else he might do after this would seem kind of trivial.
We've got devils next time we see him. Sea devils.
But anyway, yeah, so I think he's kind of come to the end of his strength and importance with this story. And once again, I mean, he does a fabulous job. I really enjoy it. I just think that the stories are getting rather trite with him. As it pertains to Joe, you know, she's not, as you know, a companion. But by this story, I'm actually asking myself, why is she really even a part of UNIT? I mean, she's this flouncy, stupid, and I mean stupid little girl. She's part of a military organization. I mean, she's even told, you know, who her commanding officer is. It's like, why is she a part of that? I mean, did they need to make her a part of the UNIT? Because she doesn't belong.
I thought she had a relative who was just trying to find a place for her.
They certainly did. And in this particular story, I actually found myself not liking Pertwee very much, or at least not liking his doctor.
He was a bit rude to Joe at one point, wasn't he?
Well, he was around and insulted Joe. I mean, he really goes after her in just about every episode about how stupid she is or how thoughtless she is.
It's about her when he said, the Brigadier is your superior officer, you should give him some respect or something on those lines, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he really gets on her in this... in most of these episodes, and she just looks so heartbroken. Mm. It's like, well, leave her alone, for crying out loud. She's just a little girl. Or at least she seems that way. Mm. And the only other thing I have to say is I got a kick out of the hiding place for Joe and Sergeant Yates behind that big open wagon wheel. All I can think of is, oh yeah, there's a good hiding place. Nobody'll see you there. I'm kind of done with Joe, though I know we're going to get a lot more of her. I'd like to see Pertwee become a little nicer doctor. That's it for me.
Thank you, Mary. That was Mary, everybody.
Yay.
It was.
Hi, Isabella.
There was something else that sprung to mind when were you talking about? Well, I've forgotten what it was now. Okay, I suppose we better move on to feedback. We have some feedback, audio feedback.
Hey there, 20 Megabyte Podcasters. This is Paul Gobert with my review for The Demons. This is generally considered one of the best Pertwee stories, finishing number 34 in the DWM Mighty 200 poll, just two behind the top Pertwee story, Inferno. You can see why. Pertwee's at his best in this, as well as excellent shows from the Brigadier and Benton. The Crazy White Witch brings the comedy, and Roger Delgado is just amazing every time he's on screen. Nice effects and a decent-looking creature in Bok, not to be confused with the Ferengi captain. Now for the negative.
Uh-oh.
I can see why it's considered so highly, but I'm just not that enamoured with it. It's fine, it's just not really my favourite type of Doctor Who story. Never a disappointment or a chore. It's a 7 out of 10 from me.
That's not too bad. Oh,
and what's that maypole dancing all about? Next time, the Dalek Day. Speak to you soon.
Thank you, Paul. Ooh.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness.
There it is. Clock. If you're watching the 20 megabyte video feed, there is the clock. There it is in the background there. I'm pointing to it as we speak.
Clock.
There it is. Not famous, is it? Has not appeared on the podcast for about 4 years, but there it is.
And first things first, why is
the clock.
It in
yeah!
The reason why it's in it is so as Kirby could hear it, and obviously long-time listeners to the show. And it's not appeared on the show for so long, it's, even Debbie doesn't know what we're talking about. It is the clock. No, you remember the clock, don't you, Mary?
Every time it goes off, Kirby goes, hello, clock!
Yeah, but he hasn't done that for years, have you, Kirby?
No, I haven't done that for years.
Hasn't appeared on the show for years.
Good night, Moon. Good night, Clock.
Right, I think we better exercise Mrs. Melrose's tonsils.
Oh, God.
So, that's not the attitude.
Wait, what about, don't we have more audio feedback?
No.
You want Ian.
Ian.
We always do the best at last, you know, so shut up.
Oh.
Right,
well, you could play Ian's, and that way then you can have time to send it over to me.
I think the speed of light, Debbie, is actually more than enough time. I just need to find you.
Besides, it's just right over the... it's on the other side of the street.
Chuck it over the hedge.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay, then. Here it comes. You have it now, presently.
Not really much.
Oh, what? My goodness me, it's an essay. Oh no, he's using lots of long words again.
Good for him.
Oh, okay.
Right, you've had your turn with Henri.
Yes, but that's not very long.
Since he's listening, since he's watching, he needs to remember to post the text of it afterwards.
No, he doesn't. It's not compulsory.
He's done it before.
He's done it before. I like it.
Alan, it's not compulsory. Yeah. Take no notice of Kirby. We don't. We don't take any notice of Kirby, do we?
The Twin Horns of a Dilemma. The Daemons is, of course, a closely studied exposition on the philosophy of science. The Doctor and Joe kick off with a debate regarding magic versus science, clearly alluding to the third of Clark's laws. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Magic?
This denial of
the
for that... Pardon?
Magic. I think he's in the other room at the moment. Sorry, carry on.
Ah, but it's sufficiently advanced technology, is it? This denial of the supernatural has recurrently been a strongly held value intrinsic to Doctor Who, sometimes taken to the edge of contemplation, but never abandoned. Scientific ethics feature at the hearts of this Doctor Who story, with the human race revealed as a laboratory experiment, so as Al feels justified in disposing of us at his will, however mote it be. As such, our Time Lords end up as supplicants to the Chief Scientist's judgment, which comes down on the side of failure. Further to the scientific discussion is the resolution based on the logical fragility of the otherwise mighty demon, an alien frailty often criticised but entirely reasonable in light of the inhuman morality shown by Azal, who cannot cope with the concept of selflessness. The story is rounded with the capture of the Master by the exploitation of the Doctor's scientific magic demonstration from the commencement of the tale. We also learn that Omega was actually from Deimos and had a very different...
Omega.
I knew did Kirby say that.
Sorry, I've got moth that decided to assault me. Go away. Go away. Leave my computer alone. Was actually from Deimos and had a very different physiognomy. Thank you very much, Alan. So well. He knows that word gets me every time. From your average Time Lord until the particle stream had its corrosive effect. Marth. Also, the second regeneration of Osgood is significantly closer than modern Osgood regeneration, but is still not exhibiting the malebrous state nature of her later self. All in all, the demons is a synoptic and compendious celebration of the core Pertwee era and team. Clearly inspired by Arthur C. Clarke's 1953 book Childhood's End, the employment of Clarke's third law is very appropriate. This story exhibits the master's reckless collaboration with a viperous confederate to the nth degree. It demonstrates unit albeit in civvies and even in pyjamas. And despite the scientific theme of the story, Jo Grant is cemented in the history of the program as unsurpassed in her devotion and faith in the goodness and value of our eponymous hero, Doctor Who. Next up, Doctor Who and the Terminator of the Marxist Daleks. These are my thoughts. And T. Butch.
Thank you, Alan.
Oh, but it's not just the Terminator of the Marxist Daleks, it's the Candyman of the Marxist Daleks.
What's that funny noise for? Would you go, meow? Or is that one of your cats?
No, I don't like the Candyman.
You know what I'm talking about.
This thing is laughing. She doesn't even know what the Candyman is. No. By the way, Isabella, you didn't actually watch this story, but you did catch bits and bobs of it. What did you think of the bits and bobs you saw of it?
Good.
What did you actually think of the bits and bobs you saw of it?
Good.
She's getting into double figures and heading towards teenage years. She's mastered the art of lying, which is rather appalling, really. But there you go.
Debbie.
Yes.
Debbie.
Yes.
I'm not speaking of the Candyman from Doctor Who.
No.
Oh God. Okay. No. Fine.
One of the main actors in our next story. Played the Candy Man from Willy Wonka.
I know, he frightened me too.
Can we get on?
When I was little, the Candy Man from Willy Wonka was quite scary because he's a bit creepy.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Right, can we get on now? There's some more
comments. The
office,
the lolly going shoot. It's really weird.
Right, some more comments have come through on the thread.
That sounds creepy.
Alan T. Butcher said, "Hi, Dean." Dean Hill said, "Oi, oi, Mr. Butcher." And then Dean Hill said, and hey, nunny, no.
Thank you.
Right. We have this. Hang on, where is it? I've lost it. Oh, there it is. Right, here we go.
There we go. Hello, 20 Megabit Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. The Daemons by someone or other. Yeah. That was before BBC was internet only. That police constable was going to hit someone over the head with a rock. Mm. He came over all William Hartnell.
Check it. Chop of the wings there. Five rounds left.
That didn't work. What was needed was a pangalactic gargoyle blaster.
Oh!
Matt Yates was watching rugby. There is some sort of American version in Houston today. Is that Kirby snoring again?
Houston, we have a problem.
The Roger Delgado season ends with a Hammer House of Horror. The Doctor's particularly smug in this story.
We're a tall hat that the Jews in the old days. We're a tall hat and a tattoo star. Ride a white swan that the people of the belt do.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. That was Ian Kirk, everyone.
Yay!
Yay.
You might even be one of our six viewers. It's interesting that once Alan T. Butcher's feedback went off, the viewership went down from 7 to 6. I wonder if that was Alan himself just waiting. I should maybe put his feedback on right at the end of the show. He might stay on to the end of the show. Or maybe
Robert Benz wrote feedback when I requested for feedback, but it was a bit rude.
Was it rude?
Yes, I wrote out the post requesting feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Robert Haynes wrote, Mary had a little lamb. She also had a duck.
All right, thank you, Debbie. Thank you.
No, please, I've read this one. It's all right.
Don't worry. If they would fall off. That's Robert's thoughts.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I'm still upset because I'm usually the person who asks for the feedback every week.
I had waited and I thought, I've got a really good picture. Is Kirby going to put the feedback request on?
Yeah, you did. You put that out about half an hour before I would normally have done.
Oh, I've been hanging for that picture. I love that picture of the master.
when we do an episode on a Sunday, I usually put the request out on Saturday morning. Saturday morning, my time.
Yes, excuse me.
Yeah, that's too late, though, isn't it?
We do currently have viewers for the particular thing. Any of you lot who haven't already provided feedback for the show, if you've watched The Daemons, tell us what you think of it. Laurie Nix said, however, can I follow these comments, waves? Alan T. Butcher, no, still here. So hello, Alan. Sorry, I thought you'd left. I do apologise. Laurie Nix, Ian is my hero. Mm-hmm. And then Alan T. Butcher said that must have been my fan that left. Oh, Ian, that means Ian Kirk is a hero. Sorry, I thought we were talking about Ian Chesterton for some reason. James Norton has just joined the thread, probably by mistake. But hello, James, while you're on there. Okay, right. It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. You see them all disappear now.
Yay. Oh, it's gone down to seven.
Yeah, it will
do.
Isabella just knocked something over.
Excuse me, I didn't do anything.
Well, you're the nearest to it. Your kinetic energy was able to knock it down. Not easily. Okay, right, so. Thank you. Stop commentating on the amount of people that are coming or going to the video feed, and two, stop using your kinetic energy to knock over things in the background. Right. Right. So, Debbie, who do you think will be ahead at after the questioning part of the quiz?
You.
Kirby, who do you think will be ahead after the questioning part of the quiz?
Me.
Debbie.
There's two Debbies. So is that you're saying Debbie Melrose and Debbie Pearson, who's not even on the show? That's quite interesting. That's really hedging your bets, that is.
Mary, it's going to be me who's going to win. You know it is.
Mary, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questionizings?
You, Adam.
Andy, who do you think is going to be ahead at the end of the questions?
Kirby.
I feel left out here.
Okay, and I think Kirby will be, because I think he's had the cunning idea of listening back to the previous time we did this review.
No, I didn't.
He may say he didn't, and will know exactly the questions that I'm going to be asking during the particular quiz.
I forgot that we'd done this one before and did not go back.
I think we've done this twice before.
Twice?
Yes.
Okay, right, so... Oh, I did. I was very clever when I actually saved the file. I did the saved it with that little AE symbol. No wonder when I did the search for it, I couldn't find it. Okay, right. First question goes to Debbie.
Okay.
You're asking the question. Hang on, I've got to move the microphone because Isabella is asking the questions.
Why do you?
Will you stop doing that stupid noise? Irritating. Stop it.
What? She's trying to talk to say the question.
Right, go on, Em. hang on. I need me jingles. Right, let's make sure this one's working. Yeah, that's working, all right. Okay, let's go on then, Debbie.
Okay. Who is frightened to death in the churchyard?
Joker Jim.
Joker Jim? Was he a joker then, was he? She's a smart ass, isn't she?
On your first go, Debbie. Go, crikey.
What a surprise. Next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Who is in charge of the archaeological dig? I think it is.
Joker.
Oh, God, yes.
Professor Horner.
Correct. Again. Another. Nice. Oh, my God. You're just crazy.
He did listen to the previous version of this podcast. Right then, yes.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
It's getting all cross now.
You're going, Mary.
Okay, next question goes to Mary.
Thousands wouldn't.
Who is the BBC Three presenter covering the dig?
I know.
Joker, Alistair Fergus.
Get these jokers out of the way quickly, aren't we?
We're all wise to it now.
Sorry, the next question goes to Andy.
What is supposed to be inside Devil's Hump?
I just knocked my microphone. Sorry about that, business.
Well, I'm not playing a joker on this one.
Right.
Good choice.
He's taking his time. I know. He's just rewatching the episode.
I'm actually trying to think. Difficult to have the best of times.
Then you're just on trying to like search up the episode and trying to go back.
No, I'm not going to get. Oh, no, excellent, that's good. Some points for me. Excellent, well done. And Debbie said she knew.
It's supposed to be an 800 BC Bronze Age chieftain.
Oh, very smart, Alec, an answer that was. I didn't have the 800 BC part of it, but that wasn't correct.
It was a team part.
All right, next question goes to
Debbie. What is the name of the landlord of the pub?
Ooh.
No, it wasn't ooh, no.
I know.
I don't know. I think it's Bert.
Correct.
She makes out she doesn't know. Unbelievable. Right. Kirby's question.
He looks so different in his newspaper suit.
Yeah. Kirby.
Master.
Who nearly hits Miss Hawthorne over the head with a rock?
That's easy. I know. Everyone knows that one.
And don't say the policeman, because that's copping out. You've got to have the policeman's
name.
Does he have a name?
Yes, he does.
Well, I know his collar number.
I'm going to point the pointer over the appropriate sound effect, waiting for Kirby to come up the usual answer.
Has a name.
I don't know.
Okay, I know his collar number.
Collar number is not what I'm looking for.
That's who he is. He is PC.
No, it isn't.
He's got
that's
his
who he
name.
Is.
Debbie knows the name, no, don't you, Debbie?
Yeah, and so does Mary.
Oh, who said it first?
I think Debbie did.
It's PC Groom.
Oop, I'm missing my button then. PC Groom is the correct answer.
He's PC 566.
Yeah, but was he
well groomed?
Okay, break it up, people.
She basically tells him it's okay. It was the elementals. Are you all right, Mr. Groom? You know.
Break it up.
Right, next question goes to Mary. And that is the one here I'm pointing at.
Okay. What is the name of the old vicar?
I know. It's Mr. Kevin Small.
Oh, wow. Now, I'll give you that. Smallwood. It's Canon Smallwood. But I'm going to give you that one. That's good enough for me. Well done, Mary.
His first name was Clement.
Yes, but magic's just entered the room, so all sorts of funny smells and stuff could...
Flappy ears!
And also, it has a tendency of treading on cables that could then just disconnect everything. And he's just trying to tread on my power cable for the iPad. Dread to think what's going to go on. Can you sit down?
No.
No, it's not on me. Get away. Right, whose question was that? Sorry, what's the word?
That was mine.
Okay,
so
Andy's question.
Okay.
You're getting distracted, aren't you? Okay, I'll do that. You're back in there, are we? Back in the room.
What does Benton complain that he and Yates are stuck with while the Brigadier enjoys a night out?
I know.
Joker, corned beef sandwiches.
Oh, that'll do.
No, but he left off the television and a plate of corned beef
sandwiches.
Yeah, television and plate.
Debbie, what do you think? Do you think a plate of corned beef sandwiches is appropriate enough for the answer to that question?
No.
Actually, yes.
No.
Right, Mary, what do you think? Mary, what do you think?
You gave me the rest of Mr. Small's name, so I think you should give that to him.
Yeah, thank you very much.
you can give him the points, but you could give me a point for getting the other part.
Well, the actual answer I've got written down is television and a plate of... All right, go on then. Point for Kirby for being a Kirby.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, so thank next... Well, I'll have a score update as we're...
Give this to me. This
could take all day, so if you want to go and make yourselves a cup of tea, viewers...
Shut
this
up, Dad. In last place with 2 points, Adam, in third... Wait, no. In fourth place... With 4 points is Andy. Third place with 5 points, Kirby. Second place with 6 points is Mary. And first place with 8 points is Debbie. Well done, Mary.
Thank you.
Right, next question goes to Debbie. And the next question for Debbie is that one.
What does the professor tell the TV floor manager that he will try his best to be?
Would you like that question in English, or would you understand it?
not really understanding.
Okay, right. I think I know what he wants. What he's saying.
What? I'll read it. Shut up. What does the professor tell the TV floor manager that he will try his best to be?
I think I know.
Oh, it's got something to do with the lane, sort of the normal being clear for people who don't understand.
All right, go on in, Andy.
I think it's absolutely marvellous.
Oh, it's absolutely super. No. Absolutely super. Super was the answer. I do apologise. That was another point. No, it wasn't super. That one either. But Kirby, your question is this, because Isabella's got distracted. She's back again. She's got distracted. Right there, there's real.
I'm here.
No, you're not, because you are. No, you aren't. Right. You've had two chances to answer the question.
I see your hand. There's her head.
Complete the master's line.
Magic.
Oh my
You've
God
stressed
gosh.
Him out and he's let one go. Right, who's hey. Sorry? Is this for us? Kirby's question, isn't it? I've lost where I was.
Was it Mary? Someone,
no, it's Debbie's question.
Did someone? It's my question.
Oh, it's your
did
question.
Someone yeah. say it already?
No.
No, no. This is your question. Sorry. Complete the master's line. As my will.
Oh, very good.
So mote it be.
you got it wrong there, Andy. You said, oh, for goodness sake. No, he didn't say, as my will, oh, for goodness sake. No, that was not the answer. So it's just where Kirby got it right. Next question goes to Mary.
Mm-hmm. What was the score of the match Benton and Yates were watching when they missed the dig on TV?
Oh, that I don't know. Didn't write that down.
Well, excellent. Oh, points for me.
I said I know.
I think I know.
Who said I know first?
I heard Andy say I know first.
Andy, go on then, Andy. Hello. No, I said it first.
Ooh. Ooh. Right, go on, Debbie. Go on, you take it then.
13-0.
Yeah.
She's so competitive.
I said it before you asked the question.
Right, next question goes to... Hang on, I've lost where I was.
We've just done the quote. We've just done the...
Yeah, I know, but who had that question last?
Mary. So next
therefore
one's Andy's.
Question. Right. Yeah, number 12 there.
What is Miss Hawthorne's first name?
I know.
Hello, Maggie.
Agnes.
Beautiful baby boy. Oh my God.
Right, that's that point for me, isn't it? Did someone say I know?
Yes, I did.
Go on then.
Yes.
What a surprise. Go on then. Pardon?
Olive.
Olive.
Right.
Is
so
her boyfriend Popeye?
Score update, Isabella.
Last place, 4 points, Andy. Fourth place with 6 points is Mary and Adam. Second place with 7 points is Kirby. And first place with 11 points, you want to guess, Debbie.
Mm. Yes, we're holding it together. We've still got seven viewers.
Wait,
do you mind?
It kind of turned.
That's all right. I've got a little thing to hold the place. That's very clever.
Smart.
Oh, pardon me. Do apologise. Sorry. That's what happens when you drink cola while doing podcasting. Live. It's not that bad. Don't be absurd. Right, the next question goes to Debbie.
Okay. Yep.
And it's that one there.
Who was Stanley Mason?
It's an actor called Stanley Mason.
I know.
Who was who?
Stanley Mason.
Oh, Bock.
Jinx.
What did you say?
Bock. Jinx Touchwood.
Debbie.
What's your fun?
Kirby.
What?
Kirby!
Master?
Go on,
Master.
What line of Venusian...
Oh, good. Can you read that one?
Yes.
What line of a Venusian lullaby did the Doctor recite?
We all know that one. Wait, I can't hear the question. Someone say the question.
Okay. What line of a Venusian lullaby did the Doctor recite?
Oh, close your eyes, my darling, while three of them at least, of course.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get any Joker played in this game for myself, you know. The way things are going. Right, Mary's question.
We've all done our jokes.
Ooh, that was a funny noise. Okay, I'm going to play my joker on this one, because just to get it out of the way, really. Whose question is this one?
Mary.
And you
Mary.
Know it's me.
Yeah, go on then.
You always play your joker on my questions.
You can do it, Mary. What alien creatures does Benton mention?
I know.
You can do it, Mary.
I wish I could.
Oh.
I don't know.
2 points for me. Hurrah. Yes, then, Andy.
Axons and Cybermen.
Correct. Yeah. Your face.
Nice one, Andy.
Right. Yeah. Next question goes to Andy, I believe.
Oh, I know which one we're doing.
Andy's question is...
It's right there. Who plays Charlie, who appears during the master's speech to the villagers?
No idea. Ooh. I've got Charlie written down, but I don't know who he is, so no idea.
That's interesting. Good point for me. Yeah, anybody?
Nope.
Another point for me. I should have played the Joker on that one.
Okay.
The answer was?
John Scott Martin.
Well known as a Dalek in Doctor Who. Still got 7 viewers. I'm quite astounded. They've all just got the thread on. They've fallen asleep. I don't know. Right, so next question goes to Debbie.
Yep.
Will you shut up?
Okay, you shut up. Right,
right, it's this one, isn't it?
Who is the Brigadier's respected scientific soldier?
It's not... don't listen to that answer there. That's absurd. But carry on. Who is the Brigadier...
The bespectacled.
Yeah, bespectacled.
Well, of course, we all know that one, don't we?
Yeah, we all know that.
Doesn't matter, Debbie.
That'd be Osgood.
Right, because of the when I originally wrote these questions, the spell checker came up with...
So good.
I was going to offer that as a bonus point. I made a right mess of that.
No, I have a question about this Osgood. Yeah. Is he a Zygon?
Anyway, right, so next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What is the name of the village pub?
Oh, God, that's so easy. Who wrote these questions?
Dad.
Why didn't you?
For goodness sake, Adam, how easy are they?
Just get on with it. Well...
I'm trying to remember. It's the...
Oh, you're joking. Come on, Adam.
I think it's the Cloven Hoof.
You think it's the Cloven Hoof.
Oh, God.
Mary.
How do you not know that?
Yeah.
Mary. Mary.
Yeah.
There we go.
What is the demon's first word?
You won't get that one, then.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
So really easy questions then, everyone, aren't they? But, like, anybody, what is the demon's first word?
What?
Nobody answering?
Is it what?
It's... I don't know.
Speak!
Speak!
What's the demon? Speak! Be quiet. Right, sorry, who was that one for? Who got that one wrong? The Cloven Hoof, that was Kirby. So it must be Andy's go. Is that correct?
Okay.
Right, Andy. Okay. What technical problem do the unit... Well, you're not paying attention. You mean playing the dog.
What technical problem do the unit team run into a little trouble with?
Having you on the podcast, probably. Ow.
Yeah, was that a question?
Yeah, what technical problem do the unit team run into a little trouble with?
I think it's feedback phasing.
Yes.
There you go.
Right, score update. The scores are in.
What was that, Debbie? Didn't catch that.
To rename you Smarty Pants.
No, it can't be because you're on the lead. Score update coming.
Last place with 6 points is Mary.
Yay! Holding up the bottom.
Strongest player.
Fourth place with 8 points is Andy. Third place with 11 points is Kirby. Second place with 12 points is Dad. And in first place, what a surprise, with 15 points is Debbie.
What a surprise. All right, so this is Debbie's question. The Debbie's question is this. Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Go on then, get on with it, Isabella.
When the doctor is about to be burned to witch... For witchcraft, who does he claim to be?
Oh, yes, easy.
Yes.
Wizard Queek Wai Quad?
Should I get to Jim? That's good enough.
No,
she nearly got it right, didn't she? But I think that's quite right. What do you think, Isabella?
No, I don't think it's quite right.
You're right.
The Great Wizard.
Whoa!
Yeah. Great magician, yeah.
Just got in wizard. There before I pressed the dick there. Right. Kirby.
Master.
That's finickety.
No, it's not.
What does the master order Joe to be clothed in?
What a thought that is. I know what I'd order to be clothed in.
The ceremonial tabard.
Correct.
And thing is that that dress is not like a tabard.
That is not a tabard.
I know, I just said
oh,
that.
Oh, God, we're being finicky about blooming tabards now.
Up,
Lord. Oh, I've got 8 viewers. Oh, I'm getting excited. This quiz is getting so popular.
Not, yes, Jim. You drunk? Could actually make double figures, couldn't
they? Right, who's that question for? That would have been Debbie. So the next question here goes to Kirby.
No, I just did.
Oh, tabard one. This next one goes to Mary. Yes.
Yeah, now here's a tough question.
You reckon?
No. What does the master await when the doctor arrives in the cabin?
No, it's actually what does the master say? Let's change that word, because that is wrong. There we go. Go on, try that again with the correct thing.
Okay. What does the master say when the doctor arrives in the cabin?
No, I have no idea.
Aww.
Point for me. Anybody?
I know.
Oh, go on then, Kirby.
Doctor, I've been expecting you.
Doctor.
I'll give you that one, even though you missed the word "ah."
I've only written down all Briggs' words in this one.
Right, Andy's question.
Alicia's watching us live. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, Alicia. Yes, the co-founder of the show has just sent me a message saying she's watching live. So that was number 8 that came up.
She's actually interested in Doctor Who.
She must be bored this evening. Anyway, right. Well, whose question is it next? I've lost a thread.
I think it was Andy. Andy's.
Okay.
Right, go on then.
Where was it?
Hang on.
Okay. Who does the Brigadier order to shoot the chap with wings?
Jenkins.
I did the ding anyway. We'll do it again for the sake of
what
it.
What is that? Some kind of ornament?
I won't do a score update because we're going to move on. Debbie's question.
After failing to stop Bok with bullets, what does Yates order Benton to get ready?
Easy.
Where does she get the easy one?
Because you were all talking over each other, she did actually say bazooka, everyone. It was bazooka. I know you've got a Veruca at the moment, haven't you, Isabella? So
shut up.
That just reminds me of that advert about Verucas and things.
Up.
I'm not asking you to show the Veruca. Let me on back.
No.
Okay, next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
Who did the doctor compare the master to?
He compared the master to two people.
Yes.
So which one do you want?
Both of them.
Hitler or Genghis Khan?
Correct.
That is correct, yes. Mary.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that one.
All right.
Try that one.
What does the demon cry after Jo offers herself to save the doctor?
I'm going to just point the pointer over the appropriate sound effect. Carry on.
Something like. Does not compute or
whatever. It's not logical. It's something like that.
Yeah, not logical. Yeah, he yells that kind of stuff out.
Do you think that's near enough?
I know.
Yeah, it's near enough.
Isabella says it's near enough, Kirby. What do you think?
No.
I think it's near enough. No.
Action does not relate.
Kirby says the answer is, get off me. The answer Kirby is the action does not relate. Right. Is that near enough, everybody?
Yes.
Shut up.
Yeah, we'll give that. Yeah.
Yay! All
right, points from Mary.
Bottom, how much of a threat can I be?
Right, Andy's question is this.
Got him.
Who arrests the master?
Benton.
Correct.
I think Alicia might have left because it's gone back down to 7 now. Right. Score update then.
Okay, right, let's do this. In last place with 8 points, Mary.
Can you do it in your voice, please, rather than your God knows what accent you're trying to achieve voice?
Adrian's impressions.
Just get on with it.
Okay. Last place, 8 points, Mary. Fourth place with 11 points, Andy. Third place. With
he's just knocked the war doctor off his pedestal
13
again.
13 points is Adam. Second place with 16 points is Kirby, and first place with 18 points Debbie.
Going to have to make up a new a program when she's on, just called the quiz. The quiz scores, because it's going to take half the length of the quiz just to do the blooming scores. Right, next question goes to Debbie, and that is this one here. It's about
what happened at the dig at the end of the story.
The spaceship automatically self-destructed.
That's the correct answer. No, I think we missed one.
Yes, we did, but that can be the next question, can't it?
Yeah.
That goes to Kirby.
Master.
What did the Doctor tell Joe to do at the end of the story? Oh, we've gone down to five.
Oh.
Six.
That's change your clothes.
That's not what's in the script.
I think I know. Get out of those clothes.
Oh dear, never mind. That's not a point for me. The answer is...
get out of that ridiculous garb.
Right then. So the next question goes to Mary, I believe.
We both knew what we were talking about.
No, but the word is garb. We're looking for the word. The garb is the word that we're looking for in that thing. That was the ridiculous garb. Right. The next question though goes to Mary.
What if we had said tabard when it wasn't?
No, shut up, Mary.
Yes.
No, we've done that one. Sorry, this one here.
When the Doctor tells the Master he will deal with him later, what does the Master say?
I'll repeat that one in English for you.
Doctor is.
When the Doctor tells the Master he will deal with him later, what does the Master say the Doctor is?
I know.
Go on.
You always were an optimist.
Oh, that'll do.
Yay for
it's
me!
It's forever the optimist, but it's near enough. Right then. Andy.
Yep.
What does Miss Hawthorne want to do with Sergeant Benton?
What does Miss Hawthorne want to do with Sergeant Benton?
Which one's going to have a dance with him?
No, not exactly. I know.
Oh. Well, that's what she wants to do. She wants to go and dance and celebrate celebrate May Day by going dancing.
I'll give you a point. Because it's not exactly right, but it's half right.
Fertility dance.
It's the correct answer.
Thank you.
Right, Kirby, your question is...
Wait.
What?
Whose question?
Oh, no, that was Andy's, wasn't it? So it's Debbie's next. Yeah. Button. Right, a score update, because you've got three questions left, and they're three for all. So here we go. This could take the rest of the evening. If you want to make yourselves a cup of tea in the interim, please, I would suggest doing so right now.
Last place, 10 points, Mary. Fourth place with 12 points, Andy. Third place with 15 points, Adam. Second place with 17 points, Kirby. And first place with 20 points is Debbie.
Bit quacker last time, thank goodness for that. Right, so free for all questions. Three left. Here we go. Next one is...
What does Yates propose to the Brigadier?
I know.
Go on, Andy.
You fancy the answer?
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's fancy a dance Brigadier.
Oh, be quiet. Shut up there. It's not an answer quite. I'm asking what you asked to do. Right, next question is...
What does the smell of flowers make a child...
Finish the question.
What does the smell of flowers make a change from according to the Doctor?
Debbie.
Sulfur.
Pardon?
Sulfur.
Oh. My bell didn't quite ding properly then, but it still means the same thing.
The last one.
Last question.
Who... directed the demons.
Can you actually say the answer instead of whispering it?
I know.
Go on, Em.
I know.
Yes?
Who?
Pardon?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Christopher Berry.
Correct.
Okay, right. So interim scores. For Isabella's benefit, I'll write them. Stop leaning on my arm when I'm trying to write. Get off.
By the way, I'm surprised you didn't have anything about the ridden by Guy Leopold is a combination of Barry Letts, Barry Leopold Letts, and Robert Sloman.
Yes, thank you very much. Right, the current scores before the changes. Here we go. I've written them down, Isabella. It's not difficult.
Last place is 10 points, Mary.
Mary, not Mary.
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 Jonathan Ross.
She's my friend.
Mary.
Get on with it.
Fourth place of 14 points is Andy.
Waiting.
Third place
with 15 points is Adam. Second place with 22 points is...
Get Debbie. On with it! What did you say?
Debbie.
What?
Second place with 22 points, Debbie.
Really?
Really.
Go on, him.
Are you sure?
They're the winner.
No, it's not the winner. Pay attention. Carry
at
on.
The moment.
Not yet.
Not yet the winner. Is Kirby.
Right.
Not yet the winner.
I'll make sure that's right.
I don't think that's right. I think Debbie's got more than me.
I've added it up wrong. I'm getting harassed by 10-year-olds. Right.
How
right.
dare you?
Sorry. Right, in last place with 10 points is Mary. In fourth place with 14 points is Andy. Third place with 15 points is me. In second place with 19 points is Kirby. And in the lead with 22 points, get off my...
Is Debbie.
Right. So, we Debbie predicted me. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Kirby predicted Debbie.
Oh, dear.
Mary predicted me. Andy predicted Kirby.
Okay.
And I predicted Kirby. So, final scores are...
Here we go!
I win!
Last place, 10 points, Mary.
That's Mary! Mary! Mary!
Mary!
Mary!
Mary!
Mary!
Mary! Mary! Mary! Quite contrary.
Mary had a little lamb.
Who is it that had a little lamb? Isabella?
Mary.
Get on with it.
Okay.
Get on with it.
Okay. She's my friend.
Yes, get on with it.
Okay. And, right, fourth place with 14 points. Andy, second place. Wait, no, third place with 15.
Ow.
Third place with 15 points is Adam. Second place with 22 points, Debbie, and the winner is Kirby.
It might have been easier just to say the winner this week is Kirby, yeah, rather than going all that malarkey. I think Isabella is deciding to slip away quietly, thank goodness. Right then, perhaps she's going to bed.
That's
you go to
quiet,
bed
dude.
A bit quieter.
Okay.
Do I get a kiss? Do I get a good night kiss? It's probably one of the last ones of them I'll ever have. Right. Alright. Okay, then we're going to. Oh, there's a dog coming in.
No,
she's not. She's not coming in. Okay, we've still got 5 viewers. Thinking about phoning up the asylum. Right, who won our sponsors?
The Dalek Asylum.
Pardon?
The Dalek Asylum. Yeah.
Who won our sponsors, funny enough? They've been sponsoring the show since Alicia was on it. So many, many years. Since Alicia was 12, in fact. So for quite a long time. She's 19 now. And they have got some latest products online. That's whowon.co.uk. Is that
whowon.co.uk?
Yes, it is, funny enough. It's a Horror of Fang Rock audiobook, $19.99. Oh, she's back. Oh, God, the dog's in. She won't want to stay in here, you know.
Yeah.
She won't, because Magic's in here. Magic's doing funny smells. It's Horror of Fang Rock, written by Terence Dix. Lost Angel, it's an audiobook about the 12th Doctor. And that is written by... Scott Cavan and George Mann, and $10.99. These are available to buy now. Quite a bargain.
Looks like it's written by Cavan Scott and George Mann.
All right, smarty pants, just because you won the quiz. Doctor Who Magazine 508 is also in the shops, and if you're not in the UK, this is a quick way of getting it. Order it straight from Who Won. And it's priced
But how much is postage if I were to
do
that?
I don't know. Buy it and find out. £5.99. And it's got a special 1970s feature on the front cover. There's also a Blu-ray. That was a DVD, sorry, of a story called Return of Dr. Mysterio.
Never heard of it.
Rather splendid Christmas
that?
Show that was on a few weeks ago. Of course, the next Doctor Who Christmas special is likely to be a regeneration episode, as I've mentioned earlier. Quicksilver is a Big Finish story featuring the Sixth Doctor, written by Matt Fitton, or is it Fitton Matt, according to Kirby, and the Torchwood Archive by James Goss, or Goss James. So those are the latest products. Coming soon, we've got Also People, which looks like one of those classic books that looks on, you know, the old, those books that came out during the hiatus featuring the Seventh Doctor.
A paperback for £25?
Yes, yeah, probably limited edition. Ouch. Kirby. It looks like someone's reading over my shoulder at the moment, and it's really quite disconcerting. And then we got The Beast of Cravenous by Justin Richards, which is a Big Finish tale with the Fourth Doctor. Contingency Club, featuring the Fifth Doctor, my favourite. And Diary of River Song number 2.
What of Diarrhea of River Song?
Diarrhea of River Song. You can't say Diarrhea of River Song. Especially when you've had a couple of Wanes, which I haven't had at the moment, by the way. So, yes, all these items, if you go to whowon.co.uk, then plus many more available for you to purchase and mention the show during your correspondences. We might actually be able to continue with the sponsorship
into 2018. I've got to go. I'm sorry. I'll be back in a sec. Alex's calling.
Okay. So that's Who Won. Lavazzi.co.uk are our other sponsors.
My favourite of our sponsors.
Yes, he's only saying that because he's thinking if he keeps on saying it, he's going to get another scarf off them. No chance. They've heard him on the show.
I already have a scarf.
Yes, but they've told me that they regret parting with that scarf, especially as it arrived in your...
Sure.
Yes, Doctor Who stuff you can get, like the Dalek scarf. I think Debbie has, I think she's got the Dalek scarf and the TARDIS scarf. They've taken off the Christmas lines that we discussed a few weeks ago, sadly. So, but hopefully by next year they'll have them back, plus more. Obviously the Fourth Doctor scarves are the ones that everybody seems to want to buy from Lavazzi. Our viewership has now gone down to 3, which is quite ironic talking about these features. But yes. Star Trek items also, if you're looking for cosplaying and stuff like that, go to lavazzi.co.uk and search Star Trek, search Doctor Who, and you'll find lots of lovely items, specifically the Fourth Doctor scarves, which we love quite a lot on the show.
Yes, I wonder why.
Because I need to get mine washed. Mine's got a bit smelly. I've been wearing it all winter. Okay, there is some news. Doctor Who news is up here. We got a timeline to series 11. BBC sources have indicated that next year's series of Doctor Who, the first with the 13th Doctor, unlucky for some, hopefully not unlucky for Doctor Who, because essentially it's the 14th Doctor, isn't it? Because we've got this chap, the War Doctor, who was a Doctor.
Doesn't matter. We've established how they're numbered, so just keep going.
Okay. First with the 13th Doctor will be broadcast in the autumn of 2018. So not that
long.
So that's quite good, isn't it? We're going to get the new series.
That's not good. We're getting 16 this months. Next one in the spring of 2017. Then we have another hiatus for a long time.
It's not really, though, is it? We've got a series in 2017 and we've got a series in 2018. So we have one within that period of time.
Why can't they make up their mind and have it always either spring or fall?
I'll continue. New showrunner Chris Chibnall, who some people online have been calling Chipnall for some reason, is currently still working on season 3 of his ITV crime drama Broadchurch. It's actually coming on. It's going to be shown soon, so it must be.
There's going to be more Broadchurch. Wow.
Yeah, but they're going to. It's on. They actually showed the previews of it recently, so it's actually, they must have made it. So they must be doing like the background editing and stuff like that, but he's apparently still working on it, which is, I should have carried on reading, which is currently being edited and will premiere in the UK on the 27th of February. I've got to move my microphone because Isabella's gone now and he moved it there because benefit her. Sorry if that makes a funny noise. Chibnall told RadioTimes.com that he has not yet been able to fully dedicate himself to Doctor Who. After finishing work on Broadchurch, he intends to take a holiday before launching into Doctor Who. So there you go. He's doing a bit of a Moffat already. Not prioritising, is he, Kirby?
Right.
He will lead a team searching for the new Doctor, although the choice will need to be agreed by the BBC Director of content, Charlotte Moore, the head of drama, and former Doctor Who executive producer Piers Wenger. It is expected that a new Doctor will be announced before the autumn, with a new Doctor making their debut, I didn't say his or her, their debut at the end of 2017.
Christmas. Are they going to do what they did before and announce it in a little programme like
I
they
hope
did
not, because that was really tacky.
I'd rather just they just sort of started talking about it. That would be
yes,
cool.
I agree.
Sorry, yeah. I just have to say I had to go upstairs because I could hear this plaintive little voice going, "Help me!" And Isla was actually stuck face down by the side of her bed.
Was she sleep lying or what?
I don't know. I think she was leaning down because she's got shelves under her bed, and she'd obviously gone too far and was actually stuck between just her bed. And all I could hear was this, "Help me!"
So you saved her.
I had to go up. I thought Tom would hear her, but he had his headphones on. And I thought it was her story at first because I heard it a bit. If you play back, you know, listen back to the episode, I'm sure you'll just hear this faint.
Probably not. No.
I don't know how long she was like it.
But anyway, I don't mind them making some sort of announcement so we can all tune into it at the same time and get the information at the same time. But,
I just hope
they don't do it as tackily as they did when they announced Kabaddi.
Coming out onto the stage through the curtain, like, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be...
They did it with Matt Smith, though, didn't they? They did a special programme talking about Doctor Who, and then right at the end of the programme, they introduced him. I didn't mind that sort of thing. But it was quite a tacky.
And he looks so young.
Yes.
Yes.
To series 10 of Doctor Who, the last full series starring Peter Capaldi, is currently in production and will begin transmission on the 15th of April.
Do we know the time it's going to be on? I know the time here is going to be 9 p.m. on BBC America.
That's all you need to know then, surely.
Huh?
Why is that so late for America? Sorry.
They just always do that. And they'll probably have class immediately on after.
Class will be folded by then.
Well, we got some new viewers back. Now I'm talking about news. It might interest people. Right. Ice Warriors return.
What time is Doctor Who normally shown?
It depends whether Strictly Come Dancing is on and stuff like that. But as it's on in the spring, it'll probably be shown.
Anything about 6 and 8 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah. Probably about 6 p.m. 6:30, depending on how scary the episode is as well.
Yeah, it always does depend on how scary the episode is.
I think it's going to be about 6 p.m. Anyway, as I was trying to say, the Ice Warriors are to return. Yay! There's a little video featuring a friend of the show via photograph, and me and Debbie had our picture taken with Stephen.
Mark Gatiss.
Yeah, sorry.
Yay!
And a little model of the Ice Warrior. So yes, the Ice Warriors are coming back. I do believe Gatiss wrote the previous Ice Warrior story that we had. So that's okay.
They pretty much have confirmed that the Movellans will be back, because in the Doctor Who the Fan Show, which is actually financed by the BBC, they mentioned the Movellans by name. So we're definitely getting Movellans.
You're so pleased about that, aren't you? Because you can now say, I was right.
Told you so.
Yes, I'm sorry. I nearly put the War Doctor around the wrong way. Let's get them straight. So it's the fourth time the poor old War Doctor's taken a bit of a tumble during this show. Right, we've got here. Current competitions. I'm not going to talk about competitions. That's silly. Right, they're talking about the odds. The Doctor odds. Okay. It was inevitable that within moments of Peter Capaldi's announcement of his departure from Doctor Who fans... His departure from Doctor Who fans? Oh, his departure from Doctor Who. They should have put a comma in there. Yeah. Fans and media would speculate on who would take over as lead actor on the show across social media and commercial betting would begin. This morning...
It's not going to be any of these people.
Be quiet. This morning, William Hill is favourite. Sorry, no, they're one of the betting companies. William Hill currently plays Ben Whishaw as favourite.
Whishaw.
See, just want to make sure you're paying attention. Ben Whishaw as favourite. Now, he looks a bit like that bloke who presents the chart show on BBC, CBBC, I think it's called.
He's Q in the new Bond.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I think I sort of recognise him, actually, now you've come to mention him. Don't watch James Bond, though. Yeah, sorry. He's a favourite. But you've got to bear in mind, every time there's a Q in James Bond, he's favourite to play the Doctor. Don't you remember?
Is there a line, is there?
You are.
Oh,
you're so funny.
Yeah, I know I am.
No, I'm talking about that other chap that was Q in James Bond, and he was favourite to be the Doctor when Capaldi became Doctor. What was his name now? It was he's a son of that bloke that was in the Beatles film Help. Oh God, he fell off a horse and died during the making of
Roy Kinnear.
Yeah, his son. Rory Kinnear. Rory Kinnear. Yeah. So he played Q, and he was favourite played the Doctor. So I wouldn't see.
He didn't play Q.
Didn't he not? He was in the James Bond film, though.
But he plays M's assistant.
Oh,
Tanner,
sorry. I'm not into James Bond. Sorry, Mr. Kressel, but I'm not. The actor is probably best. There was Dr. No mentioned him, by the way, in the story. I was going to bring that up, but as last time we reviewed, I think Matthew was on the show and we did make a mention of the Dr. No mention. The actor is probably best known for worldwide as the character of Q in the Daniel Craig era of James Bond films, or for the younger audiences as the voice of Paddington Bear in the 2014 film and this year's sequel. I don't think it'll be the Doctor. And on recent television in London Spy. Next up,
Paddington. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Next up is Richard Ayoade.
Excellent.
Ayoade. I wouldn't have thought so. He would know. He always plays. Yeah, he's bonkers, but I think it wouldn't. I don't think you better take him seriously. Because I've heard Miranda Hart mentioned as a potential Doctor, but again, you couldn't take a serious. I know we said about Catherine Tate, but Catherine Tate was already an established actress before she went into comedy. Miranda Hart can play fairly serious.
No, I've
got to drop out. I can hear Stormageddon screaming. Okay. Hang on a second.
But Miranda Hart can't play that real dramatic, those monologues that the Doctor has to do. I couldn't see her doing that.
No. There's plenty of others out there.
I know, but she has been mentioned as a potential woman to play the role, and I don't think she could play.
We're not ready for a female yet. They've touted the idea. We're all thinking about it still.
Wouldn't it annoy a certain person in America? I'm not allowed to mention. Carry on. Rory Kinnear. Yes, I've mentioned Rory Kinnear. He's already on the list. When I saw Rory Kinnear's picture, I was thinking it was Ross Kemp. I can't remember seeing Ross Kemp mentioned
Ross
to play the
Doctor.
No, that's just first glance. It looked like Ross Kemp. Rupert Grint.
No,
I
don't think so. Somehow,
it's going to be somebody completely unknown or barely known. Yeah,
no one on this list.
And then it goes on about the women actors. Olivia Colman should just be grizzling all the time. Miranda Hart was previously mentioned. Both Betfair and Paddy Power offering up Sherlock's Moriarty, Andrew Scott, as their joint favourite, alongside Ben Daniels, who's in Law and Order, UK, House of Cards, Star Wars, Rogue One, and Lara Pulver, if you want a woman who's in Spooks and Sherlock. During an item on the departure of Capaldi on BBC's Breakfast this morning, viewers' suggestions were read out. They were, including Hayley Atwell.
She'd be cool.
What?
She would be great.
Who's she then?
Was she Agent Carter or something like that?
You what?
Yeah, Agent Carter. Peggy Carter from Agent Carter from the Avengers stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no.
Eddie Redmayne, who would not do it. He's too busy doing Harry Potter stuff. Colin Salmon. David Harewood. Helena Bonham Carter.
No.
Gillian Anderson.
Everyone goes for big names. We all know it's never a big name.
It's never a big name.
And Danny Dyer.
Some we've heard of, but nobody that special. Well, so all these big stellar names, they wouldn't want to do it because they want to go from Hollywood.
Hayley Atwell's not necessarily a big name. You know, so I know who she is because I follow the MCU. Yeah. But most people would not.
But not the Doctor.
No. It's going to be somebody who we've heard of, who's been in a few things, but not an A-list celeb. It won't be that.
All I want to say is I don't want to be disappointed by the name that eventually announced.
I do have a theory.
Ooh. I have the theory. It is my theory.
No, it's a hypothesis. I don't have a name, but it's now established.
You don't have a name.
Definitively.
So you're the man with no name.
May I finish?
Go with you the days of all the horses.
So you don't, don't want, you don't want me to state my, okay, fine.
Yes, we do.
Come on, girl, this speech is out.
Oh, well, we finally get our own back on it. Go on, him.
You're going to anyway, so just go for it.
It's I don't have a particular actor.
Do you want a drum roll for this? Hang on, let's try and find
a
drum.
No. It's going to be someone who's been on Doctor Who since 2005.
You reckon?
Because it's been established now definitively that it's someone that he has seen before.
Right. Starting, who is he?
I'm not sure about that.
He has seen before. Who is he?
It's, no, like Capaldi. Capaldi's
no,
not.
No,
he's just saying somebody who's been on the show before.
Someone who's been on the show before.
Yeah.
No, who's the he you're referring to? That's what I'm asking Kirby.
He doesn't know specifically.
It's
do you mean who the doctor has seen before?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yes.
All right. I understand now. Sorry, I didn't understand. Yeah.
So it could be anyone. It could be anyone from, say, you know, the one where they're in the under the water, or you know, the one where they've got the gangers.
It could be like Clive from Rose, then, couldn't it?
Yes. Hello, Clark.
Yay!
Oh, the thing is, I've really not got an idea who it's going to be, but yes, I personally do hope it's a bloke.
It will be.
It will be.
But if it's a woman, I feel a bit more this time easier to accept a woman. But I'd rather it was a bloke. Yeah.
You'd feel they've brought forth the idea. Mm. They've test driven it with Missy. They're going to give us a bit longer to get used to the idea about it because we'll probably meet more Time Lords.
Do you know why I think it's going to be a bloke? Because I think
it will be a bloke, but coming. It is coming.
But do you know why I think it's going to be a bloke?
After this one.
I will get
Yeah, exactly, because it's too early.
No, excuse me, Leo. Do you know why I think it's going to be a bloke?
Why?
Because Chris Chibnall is just coming into probably a job he's always wanted to do. And I think Chris Chibnall's mind is set probably, as most Doctor Who fans is, on the Doctor being a bloke. And I think his first Doctor, for that reason, will be a bloke.
Yeah. They'll play it safe as well, won't they? Because they've got new show and a new doctor, it's all coming new together. They won't risk it now.
Yeah, I think the reason why I do.
Someone remind me, on what DVD is there an extra with a very young Chris Chibnall in some sort of panel talking about Doctor Who?
No, that would be. Isn't that Time and the Rani?
I'll take a look.
I think it is Time and the Rani because. They were just slagging off Pip and Jane Baker in it. Pardon?
If you can find it, Kirby, post it. I'm
pretty sure it's Time and the Rani. It was on. I saw that live actually. That particular program when it was on, because they were basically slating Pip and Jane Baker's writing for Time and the Rani, and whatever else they wrote at the time, saying it wasn't Doctor Who.
I've met Pip and Jane Baker.
I'm sure they're very nice people.
Yeah, I met them. We actually went. Well, I used to live in Shropshire, and they actually had a Doctor Who day at the village where they filmed Mark of the Rani. Oh. And it was Pip and Jane were there, and Anthony Amy was there as well.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
And it was a really good day. They really were all three really nice people.
I forgot what I was going to say now. What were we talking about before that?
No. Did you mention sponsors while I was upstairs?
Yeah, we've done sponsors.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, she's thank done you. Her sponsor duty.
The sponsor monitor wasn't around when we did it.
Ian sent a little reminder to me that I forwarded to you guys about the fact we've not done any new members for a while.
Okay, shall we see? Well, obviously, we haven't had any. But I'll have a look, see what we've got on the line of new members. What we're going to also talk about next week, it's the Day of the Daleks. Now, the Day of the Daleks...
Are we actually doing it? Are we doing next Sunday, are we?
It's only a four-parter.
How many episodes is it?
It's four-parter.
Four
that
episodes.
Should be all right.
Yes, of course.
So what after that? Is it the one after that a six-parter?
I haven't looked that far ahead, but quite possibly.
Hang on a minute. I'll have a look.
Oh, good lord. We're aiming for next week.
Unless it's a six-parter.
No, Day of the Daleks is a four-parter.
I know Day of the Daleks is a four-parter.
We've done it twice, haven't we?
Probably.
Have we?
We've done it once, at least.
Yeah, we've done it once, at least.
Yeah, anyway, well, yes.
For some reason.
What was I talking about?
You get to see Joe's knickers, I know that.
You saw them in the last one.
Well, you get to see them a lot, don't you? I mean, thank God he's wearing some.
Have we decided it's going to be next week?
Yes, it's next week. Okay? Yes, it's next week. We're actually trying to look at new members.
What time next week?
Is it okay?
It's always going to be 7 p.m. now. I finished
it
work
used
at
to always
four.
Be 8 p.m.
That's because I finished at half
like
five then. I finished at 4
7
now.
7 o'clock's good.
But it's always been 8. When's it going to be?
Right.
You did early at
okay, right. New members. I don't know who the last one we mentioned were. But none of them are likely to be listening, however. Okay, right. So, oh, good Lord. When was the last one? Shall we go back till September?
Wow.
Okay, we're back to September.
I think you probably have mentioned some of those.
Okay, we'll mention John Loud, who is... lives in Brighton. Who sneezed?
Me.
It went all over my ear. Can you please not do that?
I did actually turn away, but I have a very loud sneeze.
Lacey Archer, who is added because her husband is a Doctor Who fan. Linda Hughes, who I met up at Newcastle. Aaron Matthews, who's also met at Newcastle with Sam Stone, who is an author who's lovely. Met at Newcastle. John Davey, who is a regular contributor to Modern Doctor Who by way of playing loads of different monsters and stuff. Mark Baumgarten, that's a name and a half, isn't it? David J. Howe, who is the partner, I believe, of Sam Stone, lucky man.
Yes.
Good writer.
May Giardina, don't remember her joining, somebody else must have added her. Oh, no, it was me. Maya Croutier, who I worked with at Marks & Spencer, and I knew she was a Doctor Who fan, but where she wasn't my friend, I couldn't really add her. Mark Jason Bowles, added by Kirby Bartlett Sloan, whoever that is. Ryan John Danes. John Archer, who's owner of a Star Trek poster, apparently, according to that. And finally, Daniel Sankey, who joined today. So thank you to all the people who have joined the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which now apparently stands at 450 members. There you go.
So Fahrenheit is next one who joins.
Eh? Oh,
next
okay.
one who joins will be Fahrenheit, won't it?
If you say so.
Fahrenheit 451, come on, you know it, don't you?
All right. Right, so that's I'll see you there. So next week, as I said, it's... thank you for that. It's Day of the Daleks. My first earliest Doctor Who story I can remember watching when I was a toddler. And the only reason I know I watched it is because, I say toddler, I was about 4 or 5 years old, was being at school in the sort of nursery class, walking around the playground with my arms out going, I am a Dalek, exterminate, exterminate. And the only Doctor Who story which would have been on at that time would be Day of the Daleks.
Cool.
Cool indeed. Seven
of the Spearhead. That's my first story.
Oh, you're slightly older than me, aren't you?
Well, I'm 52 this year.
There you go, you're slightly older. It's 1 year earlier, isn't it? More or less.
So, yeah.
Essentially. So there you go. Next week, we'll all be here again, hopefully. If nobody is, I get some at bottom.
Lazy, yeah. It's every other week thing.
Well, it's supposed to be a weekly show, but I'll give you a little bit of leeway when it comes
Debbie, did you find out? It's the next one after this, a six-parter.
I think so. Hang on. No, yes,
Curse of Peladon. Let's see.
Curse of Peladon is four parts.
It's four parts.
Curse of Peladon is four.
And then Sea Devils after that.
Yeah, Sea Devils is six episodes.
Oh, okay. Anyway, until next week, thank you for listening to the show. Please watch Day of the Daleks so you can join in. Goodbye.
Bye, y'all.
Goodbye, Nancy Dance.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.